This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Thank you, Nicola, for reading for us. Let me pray now before we start. Almighty God, we thank you that we can meet together as your people. And Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would show us our Saviour and that we would grow in our knowledge and love of him today. In his name we pray. Amen. I wonder, can you remember what was announced on Monday, the 9th of November this year? It was the news that the world had been waiting for. A press release at 6:45 a.m. in the morning from Pfizer announced they had completed trials of the COVID-19 vaccine and, along with many other scientific bodies, were now confident that normality would be with us in the new year. How excited were you when you heard this news? Did you believe it? Do you believe it now? Well, just 6 weeks later, we find ourselves in Tier 4, which is basically just another lockdown. New cases on the rise due to the variants in the virus. And having just basically had Christmas cancelled and facing the prospects of our schools not reopening for a while, what do you think now? Are you confident as we move into 2021 that we will once again see our families and our friends and be able to embrace and enjoy our lives together again? Do you believe that we will one day have our freedom back and that one day the problem of COVID will be gone? Are you confidently waiting in hope for that day? Or are you wavering? Well, in our passage this morning, we meet two people who are confidently waiting in hope. But perhaps like us, they're not losing hope, are they? They're confidently waiting in hope because they have a sure hope, a certainty. And this hope is the fulfillment of a promise, a promise from God that he will fix our biggest problem. A problem that far outweighs the issue of COVID. Our sin. Our rejection of him, a holy God. Created beings rejecting the Creator and all he has to offer us. Which leaves us all in immense danger and facing his judgment. I think one of the legacies of 2020 will be that it has reminded us just how delicately poised life is. One day it seemed as though we have everything. Our families, our wealth, our health, and the future looks bright. And in the blink of an eye, it's ripped apart. Broken relationships, loneliness, depression, poverty, death. We're thrown into the darkness with no hope. But this is not new. It's not new to 2020. Human history tells us this. And the Christmas story reminds us that the King of heaven and earth came into the creation to shine a light, his light, into the darkness. To bring hope. And to be the saviour of humanity, the Messiah. But how can we be sure? How can we be sure that Jesus is the saviour? How can we be certain that what has been written and said about him over hundreds of years is true? And why does it even matter? Why does it matter to you and I today? Well, those questions are answered by Luke's account today. And my hope is that if you are a believer in Jesus, that you will leave here this morning encouraged and more certain in your faith. And as you join us this morning here or online, if you are someone who is still unsure, I do hope that you will be persuaded that Jesus is your saviour too, and that you should put your trust in him. And it's for that exact reason that Luke wrote his gospel. And we know that because he tells us right up front in the first chapter of the book, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this: "With this in mind, since I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I have written an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." So Luke is writing to a specific person. But he doesn't tell us, does he, that whether Theophilus is a follower of Jesus or whether he's just a searcher, which I think is purposeful, so that all those who would come to read his gospel, whether believer or not, could test their own certainty and be confident that Jesus and Jesus alone fulfills all God's promises and that he is the Messiah. Which is what we will see this morning as Luke records the events when Jesus was presented at the temple as a baby. Now, to help us to keep track of where we're going this morning, I've summarised the passage and what it teaches us in this sentence. Faithful Jews identify the child as God's promised Messiah, and they respond in worship and witness. I'll say it again if you're taking notes. Faithful Jews identify the child as God's promised Messiah and respond in worship and witness. And we're going to break that sentence down to see how that is relevant for us today. So first in our passage we see faithful Jews. Now you may have noticed that the passage is full of references to the law and the obedience to it. So already we see a sense of faithfulness. And our scene is set as his parents take the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate him to the Lord as the law commanded. But as they do that, they have a meeting with two people. And notice, this is not a chance meeting. It has been divinely orchestrated, as Luke emphasizes this with his mention of the Holy Spirit's role in the first couple of verses. And we also notice that these characters, they have some striking similarities, don't they? It seems that both are in the twilight of their lives, and they are both faithful God-fearing Jews. Notice in his description of Simeon, Luke doesn't tell us his age, his vocation, or his standing in society, does he? So we don't know if he's a priest, or if he's a plumber, or if he's rich or he's poor. Because that's not important. It comes across that actually Simeon's an ordinary man. But he's an ordinary man of exceptional character. In verse 25, Simeon is described as righteous and devout, meaning someone who is careful of his conduct around others and respects his religious duties. He is a man that knows his Old Testament, he knows the law. But more importantly than that, we see a heart that has a desire to please his God. Clearly, Simeon is a man of faith. And we read a similar description of Anna, don't we, in verse 37. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. So Anna was more than your average church guy, wasn't she? She was constantly at worship. She never missed a service. And notice how Luke also emphasizes that she was constantly fasting and praying. This points to a disciplined personal life with God at the center. Anna was totally focused on serving her Lord. And it is for this reason that God has chosen both Simeon and Anna to reveal his word to Israel. At this point in history, there had not been a prophet in Israel for hundreds of years. Yet Anna is specifically given this rare and honoured title. And although the title doesn't appear in Luke's description of Simeon, clearly when he is speaking, it is in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he too is prophesying. So as we read, we're getting the impression that Luke wants us to be certain that we can trust what it is these two people are about to say. Because they're faithful, they are reliable witnesses, they're obedient, they're godly Jews who know and love God and believe his word as revealed to them in the scriptures. And clearly, they are living in hope. They're living in hope that God's promise of salvation will come to pass. Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel in verse 25, and Anna is looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem in verse 38. Both of these statements are interwoven with the coming of God's Messiah, who would deliver God's people and bring comfort and peace. And Luke now specifically records that Simeon has been given a personal promise by God. What a privilege. That personal promise was given to him by the Lord's Spirit, that he will see the Messiah before he dies. Which is why Luke now homes in on the words spoken by Simeon as he meets the baby Jesus. And that leads us to the next part of our sentence. So we see faithful Jews identify the child as the promised Messiah. Too many bits of paper. Now I wonder how you parents would feel if you were walking down Banstead High Street and a stranger stopped you, smiled, and grabbed your six-week-old baby. To say that we might feel perplexed would be putting it mildly. But that is basically what happens here. But notice there is no panic from the parents. They already know Jesus is special and to expect the unexpected. And as Simeon takes the child into his arms, we can feel his excitement and his joy. Simeon knows the time has come. The Holy Spirit had moved him to be in the right place at the right time. and opened his eyes to see that this baby was the answer to all of his hopes. It's been the moment that he's been waiting for. Luke doesn't tell us how long he's been waiting, but there is a sense that it's been a long time. And he had waited patiently, expectantly, trusting and knowing that God would keep his promise. And as Simeon now holds the baby, he knows Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. This child personifies God's plan of salvation. Israel will see God's glory in the person of his son. This child will be their saviour, God's mercy on them. God chose Israel as his people. He set them apart from all other nations, and he showered them with his love and his blessing. But as we read the Old Testament, Israel's history tells us of a people that rejected him. And that left them subject to his judgment. And they suffered at the hands of their enemies and oppressors. They were slaves and they were prisoners. But the Old Testament prophecies promised that one day Israel would be set free. The Messiah would come to rescue them. But not from military rule, from their oppressors. No, the Messiah would come and save them and rescue them from a far greater danger. The power of sin that held them captive and the penalty of sin, of death and eternal separation from his love. He would show his people mercy by coming himself in the person of his son to rescue his people. But as Simeon gazes in wonder at this child, he sees something more. Jesus will not just be the saviour of his people, the Jews, but the saviour of the world. God uses his faithful servant to announce that his plan of salvation is universal. The Messiah has come for all nations. Because Israel's story is our story as well. All of us are as guilty as Israel. We have all rejected God. We all live in the shadows and darkness of our sin. And we feel the consequences of that in our daily lives, even though many of us don't realize it. But Jesus has come to show us the way. Let's read verses 30 to 32. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Light suggests the coming of illumination into a place of darkness. And Jesus is this light, a revelation to all that he and only he alone brings salvation to all mankind. We all deserve the same fate as Israel. But this Jesus, this Messiah, offers freedom to all that will trust him and come to him in faith. This is such good news for all of us, as God fulfills yet another of his promises, this time the promise he made to Abraham: all people on earth will be blessed through you. But Simeon also reveals another mark of the Messiah. Many will reject him. Let's read verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. As Simeon prophesies to Mary, he tells us there will be two groups of people. Jesus has come for all nations, but Jesus will divide the nations and be a sign that will be spoken against, as he will reveal the hearts of men, as he points to a holy God. There will be those that will reject Jesus, and they're heading for a fall, while there will be those who will accept him in faith and be vindicated and raised up. And this is the testimony of the New Testament. Many did reject him and still do today. But all of us are given the choice. Will we resist and reject the Saviour of the world? Or will we accept him as our Lord and King? Is he the one that I can put all of my hope in and trust with my life? Well, based on the testimonies of the eyewitnesses that he met throughout his gospel account, Luke believes that Jesus is the one. And Luke's record of this meeting at the temple reminds us that Jesus didn't just appear on the pages of history as an adult. And it wasn't just those that met Jesus himself and saw the signs and miracles that he performed who accepted that he was the Messiah. He was even recognized as a six-week-old baby by those who had patiently and faithfully waited on God's word. Friends, we can be certain that everything Jesus said about himself is true. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the good shepherd. He is the Messiah and the one who came to bridge the gap between sinners and a holy God. He is the one that we can trust and put all of our hope in. And the fantastic news today is that we don't need to wait. You can put your trust in him today. For he hasn't just come, his mission is complete. He died on that Roman cross for the sins of the entire world, so that you and I can be free if we trust him. He really is the saviour that we all desperately need. So if you haven't already put your trust in Jesus, do it today. If you have lost hope after the troubles of this year, come to him now and he will give you hope for the future. And if you are already trusting in Jesus as your saviour, the response of these two faithful witnesses in our passage model how we too could and should demonstrate our confidence in God's promise to us, and what it looks like in our daily lives to live with a sure hope for the future. As we complete our sentence, faithful Jews who identify the child as God's promised Messiah respond in worship and witness. Let's read from verse 28 again. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Simeon praises God that he can now rest as because he has seen God's salvation. He can now have peace. A peace that refers to the comfort of knowing that God's work does come to fulfillment. His life can come to an end with that peace. Like a servant who has been released from a task. So he responds in praise to God, and he worships the child as he holds him in his arms. It's such a beautiful picture to imagine, isn't it? Simeon's song of praise models the response of those that have come to know Christ as their saviour. As we too should be comforted in the knowledge that because the Messiah has come, we too have peace. But not because of anything that we have done, any work that we've done, but because of Christ's work on the cross, where he died to pay our debt to God. And we too now have been released. We've been released from the bondage of sin and the judgment that our sin deserves. We have peace with God. So if we are trusting Jesus, we too should be those that give a great shout of praise today and every day. Now, I know it's easy to become distracted by the trials of life. That's my own testimony. And to let them take over. Financial worries, health concerns, even spiritual dryness. I know that for many of us, we're not looking forward to the possibility of not being able to meet again if the government stops us meeting. And that'll be causing us concern. Well, in those times, remember to rejoice in your heart that our Saviour has come and he suffered for us. And one day he will return and take us to be with him forever, where then nothing will get in the way of us praising him as he deserves. And whilst we wait patiently for that day, may we be like Anna and proclaim him to all that we meet and love. Verse 38. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. After seeing Jesus, Anna is moved to proclaim him to all who will listen. The Saviour has come. And that's our task, to be his witnesses and to make disciples of all nations as our Lord commanded at the Great Commission. And we're not alone in this, because like Simeon, every believer has the privilege of the Holy Spirit with them. So as we go into 2021 and the uncertainty that surrounds us all, let's be ready and willing to share our hope with our friends, our neighbours, and even our families. Let us boldly tell others why, when we have been made redundant and have a mortgage to pay and kids to feed, why we continue to trust him who supplies for our every need. Let's continue to tell our friends why we continue to serve even when we're weary, as he is the one that sustains us. Or when we're lonely and feeling isolated, let us witness to our friends that we continue to trust him who offers comfort. And perhaps, even when we might be facing the prospect of death, may we be those who proclaim with absolute certainty that we too have seen the salvation of God, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, the hope of all the nations. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that in your grace and mercy that you came to die on a cross so that we could be free. Thank you that we have a sure and certain hope that one day we will be with you. And Lord, as we navigate through this world, this life, and the uncertainty that it brings, thank you for your word that encourages us daily and reminds us that you are for us and that you have come to be with us and you will sustain us. May we be those that sing your praises every day and proclaim him, our Lord Jesus, to all that we meet. In his name we pray. Amen.